Father, we just come before you tonight. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our hearts, in the spirit realm. We open up ourselves to you. We release your holy angels to go throughout this sanctuary to touch your people, to bring them into a new level. We thank you for breaking off chains, shackles, every bondage and every weight. Father, we thank you for the communion table that you've opened up before us this month. We thank you for the fellowship that's been taking place because of that. We love you and we honor you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Passover. Are you covered with the blood? Are you covered with the blood? We're about to enter into the season of Passover. And Passover starts Saturday, March 27th, and it ends on Sunday, April the 4th. There's some very special traditions that have been taking place ever since the very first Passover, and we're going to be talking about those tonight. Passover marks the celebration of what God did to bring his people out of bondage. And if you're in bondage in this season, God wants to bring you out, and he wants to keep you out forever. Passover refers to the time when the death angel passed over the nation of Egypt and slew all the firstborn of everything that lived in Egypt that was not protected by God with the blood. How did you obtain God's protection by being covered with the blood? What began the need for God to send a death angel into Egypt? It was time for God's people to have their own lands, and God created circumstances by which the Jewish people would leave the comforts of Egypt and start the journey into their destiny. So think about where you're at in your walk with God right now. Think about the comfortable place that God is pulling you out of, pushing you out of. He's trying to take you into a new area, a new season in your life. Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already, and Joseph died. All his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. This is when they're in Egypt. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." This started a time of trouble for the Jewish people, similar to the time that we're going through right now. They were oppressed and enslaved. The new Pharaoh forgot all that Joseph had done to help Egypt during the greatest famine of all time. If it were not for Joseph, Egypt would not have survived this famine that took place. But the new Pharaoh forgot about that. The new Pharaoh didn't keep that in remembrance. So he started a process where he was enslaving and oppressing the Israeli people. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, God gave this declaration to Moses. He's saying the same thing right now to his chosen people. He's going to use us to bring his people out of the bondage and the darkness that they have been in over these years. God started working his plan to bring Moses, the deliverer, to set his children free. This plan that God formulated included 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt. God was doing the works to cause his children to see that he was with them. So when all of the oppression started, when all of the things that Pharaoh started doing against them started coming down, the children of Israel cried out to God, and God heard them. So put yourself in this place and in this position. When you start crying out to God for real, he's going to hear you. He's going to see your need, and he's going to send deliverance to you. God did this to show the rest of the world how powerful he is. When you look at this story, God is really fulfilling the promise that he made to Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make the nations of you, and kings shall come of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So this promise took place long before Moses was even thought of, long before Joseph and his people came. This goes to show you the lengths that God will go through to honor his word. If you're in a place right now where you're in dire straits and things are hard, this story, this time of Passover, is for you to remember the miracles that took place that God performed for his people. Look what he did for Abraham and how it was carried out through Joseph. If God would have let Joseph be wiped out with the world famine, he would not have been able to fulfill his promise to Abraham. Everything ties together. Everything. Everything that you've been going through, everything that you'll go through tomorrow, it all ties together with the promises that God has been giving you. Moses is a deliverer. God sent Moses to his children to deliver them out of the bondage that came from Egypt. Now, when we look at Moses, Moses is a type and a shadow of Jesus. Both Moses and Jesus were born at a time when Israel was under foreign domination. For Moses, it was Egyptian bondage. For Jesus, it was Roman bondage. Moses and Jesus had rulers that tried to kill them shortly after their births. You can find this in Exodus 1, 15 to 22, and Matthew 2, 16 to 18. So there's parallels between Moses and Jesus. Both spent time in the wilderness before taking on their callings. Exodus 3 and Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Both dealt with wicked kings. Moses dealt with Pharaoh. You can find that in Exodus 5 to 12. And Jesus dealt with Herod. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 32. Both dealt with folks who hardened their hearts. Exodus chapter 8, verse 15 for Moses, in Mark chapter 6, verse 45 to 52 for Jesus. Both were shepherds. Exodus 3:1 and John 10:11 for citations. Both fasted for 40 days. Scripture references Exodus 32:34-28 and Luke 4:2. Both have a connection to the law. Moses, humanly speaking, wrote the law, but Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Scripture references Deuteronomy 31:9 and Matthew 5:17. Both had a connection to innocent blood. Deuteronomy 19, verses 9 to 10 for Moses, and also Deuteronomy 21:7-9 for Moses, and then Matthew 27, verses 3 to 4, talking about Jesus and his close connection to blood. Verse 10, both were called God's servants. My servant, Numbers 12:7, and Matthew 12:14-21. Both were prophets. Deuteronomy 34:10 and John 6:14. Both were priests. Exodus 40 and Hebrews 4:14. And the last one, both kept the Passover. We find this in Exodus 12, Hebrews 11:28, Luke 22:11, and Matthew 26:17-19. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23-29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Miracles. Luke 22:11. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Matthew 26:17-19. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, the origins of the Passover ordinance are found in the book of Exodus. This first Passover was on the night of the 10th and final plague that God released upon Egypt as part of his plan to free his people from slavery. The Passover ordinance was intended to be everlasting, which means it's something that God is expecting for us to practice as well. It was to be remembered and observed from generation to generation. I find it interesting that the Jewish people keep these traditions and keep these festivals and feasts that are going on. And it's a constant reminder of the miracles and the power of God that worked for them and on their behalf. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Passover is referred to as a feast of the Lord. And again, these are one of the things that we should be celebrating in our relationship with the Father. The thing that needs to be highlighted here is the blood. The blood covered them. The blood kept them safe from whatever's going on. What is going to keep us safe from the diseases that are going on right now, the plagues that are happening right now? The blood of Jesus Christ. And you have to be forever faithful to remember to apply the blood of Jesus Christ, not only to you, but to your family, all of your possessions, all of the things that God has for you, so that they can remain protected. It is God's will that we use the blood at all times. This Passover is referred to as a feast of the Lord. This means that God invites his people to place their feet beneath his table in obedience, and because of his generous nature, he releases blessings. It's not an accident that God opened up the communion table to us this month. He knew that Passover season was coming. He knew that he wanted to open up his table to us to receive the blessing that comes from taking communion with him. To receive the covenant blessings, his people must show up. You know, a part of you receiving from this table is for you to come forward, and to partake of it. God said Passover was a memorial, a remembrance throughout the generations. The Passover ordinance is a decree made by God that is everlasting. Now, Passover is divided into two parts. The first 2 days and the last 2 days, the latter commemorating the splitting of the Red Sea, are full-fledged holidays. So if you notice on the Passover calendar, the first day they have a total complete celebration on both on that day and then on the ending day as well. They do no work. The first 2 days and the last 2 days are full-fledged holidays. Holiday candles are lit at night, and kiddush and sumptuous holiday meals are enjoyed on both nights and days. We don't go to work, drive, write, or switch on or off electric devices. You ever thought about that? That's serious. The middle 4 days are called Kol HaMoed, semi-festive intermediate days, when most forms of work are permitted. No commits. To commemorate the unleavened bread that the Israelites ate when they left Egypt, we don't eat or even retain in our possession any commits from midday of the day before Passover until the conclusion of the holiday. Commets means leavened grain, any food or drink that contains even a trace of wheat, barley, rye, oats, spelt, or their derivatives, and which wasn't guarded from leavening or fermentation. This includes bread, cake, cookies, cereal, pasta, and most alcoholic beverages. Moreover, almost any processed food or drink can be assumed to be commets unless certified otherwise. Ridding our homes of commets is an intensive process. It involves a full-out spring cleaning, search and destroy mission during the weeks before Passover, and culminates with a ceremonial search for commets on the night before Passover, and then a burning of the commets ceremony on the morning before the holiday. Commets that cannot be disposed of can be sold to a non-Jew and brought back after the holiday. I thought that was kind of funny. Passover, celebrating the greatest series of miracles ever experienced in history, is a time to reach above nature to the miraculous. How are miracles achieved? Let's take our cue from the matzah. Flat, unflavored, it embodies humility. What message did we just hear about this past week? Humility. God said for us to get humility. How are those miracles going to be happening? Through humility. Flat, unflavored matzah. Through ridding ourselves of inflated egos, we're able to tap into the miraculous well of divine energy we all have within our souls. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 12, because this goes through the whole Passover story. Now we're at this point here where we're at the 10th plague. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Significance in that blood. I found it significant also that the people who were in the house who were covered by the blood didn't necessarily have to be Jewish. Anyone that was in that house was protected by the blood. 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinances. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Very important instructions. Very important things that need to be done over the doorposts of our hearts to make sure that the enemy cannot come in. Verse 24, and you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be, when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. The 10th plague, death of the firstborn. Verse 29, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Do you understand how miraculous this is? How strong God is? All of the suffering that God's children had went through in those years, after Joseph died and after the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, God repaid back the Egyptians for every unkindness, every deed that they did, he repaid them back. Verse 31, then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. This was Pharaoh who came to Moses and told them, now it's time for you to leave. Now it's time for you to leave Egypt. I'm not going to hold you back anymore. I'm not going to keep you here. Your enemy is going to come tell you that it's time for you to be blessed. Your enemy is going to come tell you that it's time for you to receive the promises of God. This is the time and the season that God is speaking this to us, to his people, so that we can rise. There's no more holds barred anymore, especially when your enemy comes and tells you you're blessed already. I can't hold you back. I can't do anything to keep you here. I can't keep you in bondage anymore. God is speaking through your enemies and telling you this right now. 33, and the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes, on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So not only did they lose their children, they took their wealth with them too. God has been saying over and over and over again that we are going to be blessed. We're going to prosper in this time and in this season. And as we are going out in this Passover season, this is the time to claim those promises. This is the time to claim every promise of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob into your bosom and grasp it very deeply and very closely to your heart. Verse 37, then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them, also in flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And it is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. Regulations for Passover, verse 43. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. But every man's servant who is brought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. Thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Exodus 13, consecration. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. Consecration. This is the time where we rededicate ourselves to the Lord. We give our whole hearts to go into this next season that God is promising us to be into. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day, you are going out, out in the month. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be a sign to you on your hand as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in this season from year to year. The law of the firstborn. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of men and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Closing verses. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God is leading every one of our footsteps. He is causing all of us to be receiving of this Passover blessing and this Passover miracle. It's the blood that keeps us. And it's not the blood of an animal lamb. It's the blood of the lamb. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that protects and keeps us in this season. God wants to cover you afresh and anew with his blood tonight. He wants to dip you completely from every part of your being. The altar's open for you to receive this new transference of his blood covering to you.